Good morning. Welcome. Welcome once again to Sunday School. Sunday School at Grace Baptist Church, a Bible study. What are you expecting? There is one matter common to all human beings that requires an answer to that question. What are you expecting? And just what is that matter that all humanity will encounter? 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 4 begins this way. For surely we will die. There is a time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes 3:2. Again, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 5, for the living know that they will die. And looking again to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let's hear from verse 20. All, that's A-L-L, that includes you and me, all go to one place. All are from the dust, and all return to the dust. Of course, we're speaking of physical death. The death of the human body, which was first created by God in the garden. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, a living being. Genesis 2:7. But God was not finished at that point in time in creating mankind. He took one of the man's ribs, which was made of the dust of the ground, and made it into a woman. Genesis chapter 2, again, verses 21 and 22. The history, not the story, not the fairy tale, the history from that point heads in a tragic direction for all humanity. Our original parents, Adam and Eve, our original parents went astray and disobeyed God in clear violation of God's commandment, coupled with the penalty of sure death. Not only the death of the physical body, but the death resulting in spiritual separation from God and loss of communion, loss of fellowship of human souls with God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all human beings because all sinned. Romans 5:12. Make no mistake about this one thing. Make no mistake. In Adam, and we are all in Adam from birth, from conception. In Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. And again, make no mistake. It is appointed, it is reserved for human beings to die once, referencing physical death. It is appointed, it is reserved. God has made a reservation, an appointed time for you to die physically. And that will happen one time. Those who believe in reincarnation are in for an extremely tormenting reality if they die without Christ. And they will remain in that tormenting reality for eternity. For there will be no reincarnation. Job says this in Job 14, verses 1 and 5. And he's speaking to God here. He's addressing God. A human being born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, Job says to God. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. He cannot pass the appointed limits that God has set. In Acts 17:26, this particular scripture puts it this way. God has determined their pre-appointed times, speaking of human beings. None of us, not a single one of us, are going to live 1 millisecond more or less than God has already purposed. What are you expecting? Some people, especially those who are young, and you and I were young one day, especially the young, live their lives as if they are never going to die, and with no regard for God or His Word, the Bible. It's the way I lived. And this is overwhelmingly common in our world today. There was a very popular television show some years ago. I don't believe I ever watched it one time. I was a Christian at that time. But I do remember a line from their theme song, which I probably heard on an ad. I remember this line because as a Christian, I realized how horribly mistaken the lyrics were. The show was Fame. And the line said, I'm or we're going to live forever. They sang that repeatedly. And yes, when I was a young person without Christ, I thought those same thoughts before God saved me. But such thoughts, living forever without Christ, are absolutely impossible. Listen, listen closely to Psalm 89:48. What person can live and not see death? The word see there means to experience. What person can live and not experience death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Who of you out there have power to deliver your life from the power of the grave? Ecclesiastes. Been there a lot, haven't we? Ecclesiastes 8:8. No one. Now, how many people does that exclude? No one has power over the spirit, this life-giving vitality within us. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. And no one has power in the day of death. Again, speaking of physical death. And further, guess where? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, the dust will return to the earth as it was. Now listen to this next line. We're going to stay with this a moment. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now there are those of you out there automatically who are going to say, well, that means everybody's going to heaven then. The body returns to the earth, to dust, but the spirit will go back to be with God. Well, listen now. Listen very, very closely, please. Got some scripture here that you need to understand. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Where can I go away from your spirit? Or where can I flee away from your presence? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He inhabits eternity. If I ascend into heaven, and literally the scriptures just say you, referring to God. If I ascend into heaven, you. I think your Bibles probably have "are there" inserted. It's really not in the text. Meaning is there. If I make my bed in hell. Are you listening to me? If I make my bed in hell, behold, you, God. The presence, listen to me, the presence of God in hell will be great torment for the damned. I believe we get a view of that. A measure of a view of that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Let's go there. 2 Thessalonians verses 6 through 10. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes back as the eternal judge. Speaking of those who don't believe the gospel of Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. There are two ways to view those words from. Either meaning away from, separation. And folks, I've even taught that that was true from this particular verse. I don't believe that for a moment now. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's the efficient cause. It's because of. We cannot forget the omnipresence of God. I, the Lord, I do not change, from the book of Malachi. He's everywhere all the time. This everlasting destruction is the cause from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. His presence, and therefore the glory of his power, cause the everlasting destruction of those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that everlasting punishment comes from the Lord. What are you expecting? Christ is coming back in that day to be glorified in his saints, and his saints will be eternally glorified in him, conformed to his image. Two very different things, right? Two very different things for those who have rejected his gospel and for those who have been saved by that very same gospel. Conformed to his image. That is the expectation of every true Christian. That is the Christian's hope. Listen up. Not the iffy hope so of the world built on shifting sand, but the sure and steadfast anchor of the soul we see in Hebrews 6:19. Christ is that hope. That anchor of our expectation. We expect this to happen. And looking to Isaiah 22, verses 22 and 23, we see Christ. And more testimony to bolster our sure expectation. Let's go there. Isaiah chapter 22, and I want to read verses 22 and 23. Now, these verses are really addressing on the surface God's servant Eliakim. But Eliakim, thanks be to God, is a type of Christ in these verses. You see, this whole book is a testimony of Christ. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And these verses I'm going to read are speaking ultimately of the Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, the church. So he shall open and no one shall shut. And he shall shut, and no one shall open. No one comes to the Father but by him. I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. The nail who is anchored, the nail who is anchored in a sure place. And he will become a glorious throne to his Father's house. What is your hope? What is your expectation? What are you expecting? What are you expecting? The second coming of Jesus Christ will be sudden on that last day. Even in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as it is stated in 1 Corinthians 15:52. For those not expecting this reality, the scriptures say these things, among others. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, everything's good. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Proverbs 29:1 speaks of those who will suddenly be destroyed. And that, oh, these words are hard. And that without remedy. It's final. There's no remedy, no appeal, no second chance. Isaiah 47, verses 10 and 11. Again, among other things, these verses say, "You have trusted in your wickedness." Now listen to me, folks. You've trusted in your wickedness, which can simply refer to doing that which is right in your own eyes. You hear me? Think about that. Doing right in your own eyes, folks. Outside of Christ, it's wickedness. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Out there in the farm. On the farm. You have trusted in your wickedness. What's the result? Desolation shall come upon you suddenly. Now I know this. I can see it in people's faces. I see in their responses to me. Now I know there are some who think that I'm just a bit off mentally to believe these things I'm teaching from the Word of God. Well, I'm in very good company amid such a charge. The people in Christ's day said the same thing about Jesus Christ. Mark 3:21. But when his own people heard, they went to lay hold of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." King James Version says, "He is beside himself." New American Standard has, "He has lost his senses." Paul the Apostle was viewed in the same manner. In Acts 26, we have this encounter where King Agrippa and Festus, who was a governor, a minor governor of Rome, Agrippa, Festus, and Paul were together, and these two authorities were examining Paul. Now, if you read the text there in Acts 26, Paul testified of his conversion and personal encounter with Christ, then proclaimed Christ's resurrection from the dead. Festus then said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. You're out of your mind. Much learning drives you mad. Much learning drives you insane." And literally, I'm going to read you literally what Paul answered with. "I am not insane, but I speak words of truth and sanity." Well, folks, as I stand before you, I'm certainly not Christ. And I am no Paul, but I am a man of God given to proclaiming God's word. As I've said to you before, I believe I have the Spirit of God. I wouldn't be doing this if that weren't true. With all these foregoing things that we've covered, may I sincerely and lovingly warn you with the following scripture. We're going to be turning, as a matter of fact, don't turn. Got it written down here. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. It speaks of those who oppose God and oppose his messengers and his word. Now reading from there, 2 Chronicles 36:16. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, the words of God, and scoffed at his prophets, God's prophets. Now, though we have no true prophets today, as in the Old Testament and New Testament, the writings of those true prophets, are rejected when delivered by the messengers of God today. When I read these things from Isaiah and Jeremiah and so on and so on, they're rejected today. That verse 36 ends with the wrath of God against those who mocked his messengers, despised his word, and scoffed at his prophets. The verse ends with a final, and I mean final, condemnation, as we saw before, with no remedy. In this particular case, in this verse, God shows no mercy. But, as we know, that's a wonderful word in the scripture when it comes to sinners. But, what if God, wanting to show wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand, he predestinated for glory, even us whom he called, the elect. That was from Romans chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. I am calling you outwardly. If you don't know Christ, flee to him now, by faith, and confess your sins, seeking to be forgiven, and he will forgive you. But the real question is this. The real question is this. Is God calling you inwardly, effectually, irresistibly to receive Christ's substitutionary death for his elect on the cross? God's satisfaction and the justification brought about by Christ's sacrifice resulted in Christ's resurrection. Resurrection from the dead. He is the forever living Christ. What are you expecting? Gosh, I hope you're asking yourself that question. Answering that question. What are you expecting? There are only two. One, two. There are only two real expectations when death finds you. One of those two is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, no remedy, but a certain fearful looking for. And guess what other word we can use properly for looking for? Expectation, folks. But a certain fearful expectation. The American Standard of 1901, which is a great translation. The New American Standard. Both of the interlinear translations, Bibles I have, all of those translate this word expectation. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment, a fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. And folks, that is the second death. The eternal indignation of God poured out for all eternity. The hard, cold reality is that the vast majority of people believe this scripture, if they've ever heard it, they believe this scripture is nonsense. And they simply have no fear of God. The only other true expectation is reserved for God's elect and is clearly revealed in Titus chapters 1 and 2. Remember, hope for a Christian is sure expectation, an anchor of the soul, a nail surely placed, anchored. Paul says this in his letter to Titus. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, in expectation of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, looking for the blessed hope, looking for the blessed expectation and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christians, Christ is our hope. Christ is our expectation. I am, along with many of you, I am expecting Christ, my great God and Savior, who will usher me and you into the kingdom prepared for us, where we will be conformed to the image of Christ and free from the very presence of sin, to live forever in the perfect love and peace of God. And again, remember, that's eternally. What are you expecting? Christ, your condemning judge or Christ, your Savior. Amen.